I thank everyone for coming, and maybe expound, or I guess I appreciate what was shared during the singing about we often forget about Christ. So what my hope is to maybe bring some attention there back to Him. If we look at Philippians 3 as kind of the direction there of where I got the title. Philippians 3, I'm going to read 8 through 11 here. "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them all but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain to unto the resurrection of the dead." So if we look at these set of verses, fellowship is the bond that becomes formed between friends. When friends come together, they form a fellowship. They often share similar interests and they often share similar struggles. To suffer means to experience a type of pain or like a distress. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wanted to connect with that pain that Christ endured. And Paul, although he also had his own very, very large amount of suffering, and he carried the burdens of all the churches, he really was crying out that he might truly want to share in the anguish of Christ on top of his own. And I'm not sure we always understand the real deepness to Paul's yearning to be like Christ when we really look at what Christ went through or what he endured. But if we look shortly after Saul's conversion, Ananias had a profound message that was regarding the significant suffering that Paul was going to face for Christ's sake. And if you look at Acts 9:16, Christ mentions that. But this isn't just like a passing mention. I mean, it was a very prophetic word, and it laid the foundation of almost all of Paul's future. And through his time trying to be like Christ, he endured shipwrecks, stonings, beatings, emotional problems. Yet despite this, he, in Romans 8:18, could joyfully declare, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is going to be revealed in us." So, and that would be Romans 8, if you read 18 and 19. So Paul's perspective on being like Christ and the significance of that is vastly different than what we feel on a lot of people. He faced challenges in his Christian life and his molding to Christ that I think few of us can really comprehend. And yet he considered them just trivial compared to the glory that awaited him once he became like Christ. So I think that is some of the reason that his heart was so set on knowing Christ more intimately. And he understood that the true fellowship with Christ meant that he had to embrace not only the joy of Christ, but also his suffering. And that suffering really came with a really heavy weight to it. It's essential to really recognize that Paul's suffering had different elements. He dealt with physical afflictions. He dealt with emotional turmoil, spiritual battles. He carried the weight of the churches on his heart and cared very much for their well-being. Yet in all of this, that weight that was his suffering, he really wanted to experience Christ's suffering. And I think it's a longing that a lot of people have a hard time understanding. You know, how many of us today really, really desire to partake in Christ's suffering, the way and the amount of turmoil that he really went through? You know, we live in a world that prioritizes comfort and ease. And sometimes these questions, when we're really hit with them, they can kind of challenge us if we're attentive to what's being spoken and we're really applying that to our situation and our lives. But are we willing, as a brotherhood or even as individual Christians, to delve deeper into the heart of Christ? And if we can embrace his pain, I think we can really connect with him and know him more deeply and more on that spiritual level. But so often here, it's so easy because the church, we focus so much inwardly and on ourselves. And I think the modern church that we live in, just out of habit, turns itself inward and trying to maintain. And a lot of times we address the pains and the struggles of the members or of the church. And I think this is commendable, but I think the danger comes when we become so absorbed in our own troubles, in our own suffering, that we neglect to actually reflect on the anguish that Christ suffered. So I think it's commendable. We gather in prayer groups and we support one another in our personal trials. I'm not sure we open up to each other as well as we actually should. I think it's easier to pray for people who aren't around than it is to kneel on our knees and ask for prayer for our situations. But I do think we need to ask, when was the last time that you actually wept over the anguish that Christ felt because of your sin, because of your disobedience, because of your arrogance, because of your pride, because of your selfishness? And I think we need to understand that the pain that Christ suffered was both the pain on the cross, but really his suffering came more from the pain of sin and unbelief. And I realize in my life that I focus a lot on human suffering more so than on Christ. You know, and you know, I'm deeply concerned for those around me, for those close to me, for their comfort and ease. But my understanding of human sorrow gets very vast when you see it, yet my grasp of Christ's suffering is often very limited. And this self-awareness leads me to question the priorities of my Christianity, but also the Christianity of those around me. And I think if we really look around, it seems this issue affects much of us. This discussion of human suffering, right? So this issue of human suffering, where we look at depression, fear, loneliness, you know, we can discuss those things. We can discuss those things on other people. And while we need to deal with our pain, we also have to pray for a deeper understanding of the spiritual suffering that Christ went through. And I think we need to really understand, when we talk about the pain of Christ and the suffering of Christ, we picture what he went through on the cross. But I think when you look at the vast majority of Christ being the physical manifestation of the spiritual realm, and Christ being incredibly spiritual, I think we have to understand that the pain that he went through, even on the cross, was mainly spiritual. And while we may be moved by the physical pain at Calvary, I think his suffering extends so much deeper. And I think it's important to recognize that his suffering was not solely that spirit, that physical. But Paul faced, the suffering that Christ spiritually suffered on Calvary was very, very profound. It was very deep. Even especially before the cross, and he bore the weight of a faltering church and the pain of loved ones who he knew did not believe. But I think if we look at the scriptures, the Spirit actually leads us to reflect on these aspects of Christ's suffering, and I think they're particularly found in the book of John. So Christ had suffering and pain over the corruption that was in the temple. So when Jesus entered the temple and was appalled, he was appalled at the corruption, and it was filled with merchants and profit seekers. And the sight, what he had seen there, gave him a righteous anger within him. And he overturned the tables, and his voice declared, "Take these hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And I think these moments reveals the depth of his love for the Father and his desire for a genuine church and a genuine worship. Christ also suffered spiritually in the face of doubt. In the book of John, Jesus had a very deep love for Lazarus and his sisters. But when Lazarus was ill, Jesus sent word that the sickness would glorify God. John 11:4. Yet when he arrived, he faced the doubt from these that he loved so dearly, and it pierced his heart. And do we always truly understand and empathize with his pain when we doubt his power and when we doubt his care in our lives? So let's consider the moment when Martha said unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Did she realize how much this statement could hurt him? When Mary echoed, and she had mentioned the sentiment, she too added to his anguish. But Christ had already assured them of his power, yet their doubts remained. But now the question becomes, are we willing to trust him fully, even when we don't understand his ways? Okay, true faith acknowledges sovereignty through both triumph and tragedy. And I think we should be able to declare like Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And I think it's easy to proclaim faith when life is good, but what about the moments in despair? Do we still believe that God is working for our good, even when our circumstances make us believe otherwise? Jesus desires us to rest in his love and power, knowing he has a purpose for that pain. And one more point here to look at as an example of the spiritual sufferings of Christ is where we look at where he's saying basically goodbye to his mother. So, as Jesus was on the cross, he entrusted his mother to John, and he revealed his deep love for her. And basically, when he did that, he gave up all his earthly ties. And I think we'll all, at least at some point, I think we all face moments in which we have to let go of things that are dear to us. And I think Jesus understands this pain very intimately, where when he said, "Woman, behold thy son," I don't think that just signifies a transfer of responsibility to John, that now John's responsibility is to take care of her. I also think that it very much reflects the heartache that Christ had and experienced over that separation with his mother. So imagine this deep, the depth of his suffering as he realized he could no longer be her son in an earthly sense, and he was going to face death alone. And I think we too share in the pain of letting go of loved ones. But I think this aspect of suffering, it resonates with people. And sometimes it's due through death. Sometimes it's through distance and space where we just have to let go. But ultimately, the way of the cross requires surrender to what we hold dear. And I think we'll all at some point feel heartache of letting go of our children as they leave home. And I think that can be a bittersweet experience. But yet through this surrender, I do feel that you find joy and you find comfort in the presence, in the act that you're giving something over. So in conclusion, I think I would just like to maybe give us all like a call to surrender. So I think we have to strive to reach a place where Christ alone is our sufficiency and where we love Him. And, you know, this isn't an easy path. But I think when we prioritize our relationship with Him, I think that's when we grasp the element of His suffering. So if we can commit to knowing Christ more deeply, sharing in His suffering, and I think if we're more more aware of His pain and love, that I think I think we become transformed. And if we do this, I think we can become more like Christ.